There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, continues. Usually we are doing a text, the Old Testament reading, or the kind of the context of the Old Testament reading for the coming Sunday. But today is the day that the church remembers the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, the 21st of July. Now, Ezekiel as a prophet and as a book can be a bit daunting and a little bit confusing. So we're going to try and get our bearings here in the beginning of our conversation and talk about Christ in the Old Testament in the life and the work and the prophecy of Ezekiel. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
The man in the book can be a little bit confusing, so help us get our bearings on Ezekiel with a little bit of context, historical background, and stuff like that, so that we understand where we're going.
Well, all the prophetic writings, by nature here in America, we kind of have an OT deficiency. We don't read the Old Testament that much. And so it becomes a rather daunting task, like you said, trying to read through all 48 chapters of Ezekiel, seeing all of these visions, seeing the way that the prophet interacts with God and interacts with the people. But I think that the best understanding we can have of any of these books of the Old Testament, any of these prophetic writings, is you always have to jump backwards from the New Testament. So we have to understand, like the Apostle Peter tells us when he writes in his first epistle to the baptized in chapter 1, he says, concerning this salvation, now it's the salvation that the apostles are preaching, he says, concerning this salvation, all the prophets who prophesied about this grace that was to be yours, they searched and inquired carefully. They were inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. So when we look at any of these prophetic books in the Old Testament, we want to take this understanding that all of the prophets were proclaiming Jesus. They were talking about his suffering, and they were talking about his glories. They were talking about the coming kingdom. And this is exactly what Ezekiel is doing. So we don't want to get bogged down in all these types of visions and trying to make sense of this in a nonsense way, trying to take a newspaper in one hand and seeing if there's any predictive prophecy being fulfilled in the Middle East as we speak. But instead, you want to have this principle that all of these prophets, including Ezekiel, have the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is upon Ezekiel preaching about Jesus. And of all the prophetic books, I mean, this is one of the books that's the clearest with this understanding of the Holy Spirit. You see this beginning like in Ezekiel chapter 2, that as the pre-incarnate Christ, the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord, is speaking to Ezekiel, it is at that point precisely where the Spirit enters into Ezekiel and sets him on his feet, and then he is sent out to speak. And throughout the book, you'll have this continual language of the Holy Spirit lifting up Ezekiel. It's the Holy Spirit who is upon him, and that's why we will say that the Holy Spirit has spoke through all the prophets of old, but when they're speaking about Jesus and his coming kingdom. And this is what we need to take into consideration when we're looking at Ezekiel, who's living in the days of an earthly kingdom that's completely falling apart, that Ezekiel is preaching about a heavenly kingdom. So in the midst of this earthly Jerusalem that is being overrun by the Gentiles, here is Ezekiel preaching and proclaiming the true kingdom, God's kingdom. And God's kingdom comes not by sword or might of men, but instead by the Spirit of God through the preaching and proclamation of his word. And in Ezekiel, we have the understanding that the earthly Jerusalem and all of its man-made methods of trying to gain and obtain God's favor, they must be destroyed. The temple in Jerusalem, that physical temple, must be toppled. It must be tumbled. It must be taken away. The physical throne is of David. Even though it is of David, it has become just like any one of the other earthly kingdoms, and it must be overthrown. It must make way for the heavenly kingdom, the true temple and the throne, which, of course, is seen in the mystery of the incarnation, so that the people in the days of Ezekiel are to wait for the coming Messiah. And the whole book is teaching about this waiting. Waiting for salvation, waiting for the one to whom the rule and the judgment is to be given, waiting for the king to come to his own and to usher in this eternal kingdom. And even the book of Ezekiel will end on this incarnational note when it talks about this, the glory of the Lord will dwell in the midst of his people, and his people then, the city, the place where God dwells, will be named that Yahweh is there. That's going to be the name of the city where Yahweh is. This is the place where God dwells in the midst of his people. So the whole book of Ezekiel is proclaiming this message of Christ. But it's taking place in days that it seems like there will be no kingdom. It seems like the promises to David will be to no avail. In this time period here, you're looking at about 597 B.C., where you have the Babylonians who are marching upon Jerusalem. You have a wave of captivities that are being taken away. In fact, Ezekiel himself, who is a Levitical priest, he is taken away and deported under the Babylonians. He is removed from physical Jerusalem. And of course, Ezekiel himself, being a priest, he's a married man. He's proclaiming, don't look to me, don't look to these things, but instead, look to the Lord. And this is when he has this vision. The vision is given to him in these days when a puppet king is placed before the people. Nebuchadnezzar sets up this pretender, this prince, Zedekiah, to be kind of to pull the strings and to tell the people what to do. But in this time, everything is just in chaos. It's in complete discord. You have Zedekiah trying to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, and this whole thing is a complete mess, and you'll have the finally second siege of Jerusalem. You'll have the fall of the city in 587 BC. So about 10 years later, the whole city of Jerusalem falls, it fails, everything is a mess. And this is the place where Ezekiel is preaching as he is teaching the people to wait for the coming kingdom. Now, this is just like in our day. We live in a fallen world that is falling apart, and the message of God is clear. Do not put your hope in these earthly princes, but instead put your trust in Yahweh, Yahweh who comes in the flesh, Yahweh who is Emmanuel with us, Yahweh who is the one who comes to be with us and take us to be with him eternally.
You say that we should be seeing Christ in the person and the life of the prophet Ezekiel, in particular, how he is sent by God, and he is sent like so many of the prophets, and then rejected by the very people he is sent to.
Now, as we're looking at Ezekiel, you want to see Ezekiel in his person, who he is, and of course, in his office. He is a Levitical priest. He is a prophet. And this, of course, is pointing towards the mystery of the incarnation, that God himself will assume the human nature, that he will be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and of course, he will be a prophet that is sent by the Father. And so when you have Ezekiel being sent, this is always the message of the incarnation, that God himself will come in human form. And what is he going to do? Well, he's going to restore creation, because by nature we are all enemies of God. We do not want to hear his word. We want to run from God. But God is the one who will come and seek to save the lost. And you have this in the sending of prophets over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament scriptures. This is when the people go astray, they go their own way, they prefer the darkness instead of the light, and they fall for the devil's deceptions. And these people have left the presence of God. But what God will do is he will send a prophet to bring them back. And in this person and work of Ezekiel, of course, we see the person and work of Christ, that the Father will send the Son, and the Son will go to bring the people back. And as you go through the book of Ezekiel, just like with Jesus, you know, first the message, of course, is to the Jews, but then the message will be to the Gentiles also, that this message is one of salvation, one of redemption. But here you have God sending Ezekiel, and when we look through this whole book and we look at this man, we understand that his call documents come forward. And basically in his call documents, the Lord says to him, here's the situation. I'm going to send you to a people, and they're not going to listen to a word you say. And it's not like I'm sending you to a people of foreign speech, and it's a hard language to understand, but it's to your own people with your own language. And they still will not listen. They still will not be able to understand. God even says, if I send you to those foreigners who don't even understand your language, the odds are they will, of course, pointing towards the conversion of the Gentiles. But I'm going to send you to your own people, and they will not listen to you. They will not be willing. They won't want to have anything to do with you. They will be completely stubborn. Well, this is precisely what happens with the sending forth of the Son, that the Son of God comes to his own people, and his own people do not receive him. They do not know him. They reject him, and they crucify him. And when Jesus will send out the apostles, he'll tell them the same message, that if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. So you'll see the same thing in the sending out of the apostles. And just like the apostles and the prophets, Jesus makes it clear that the one who hears the prophet or the apostle that's sent by Jesus hears Jesus. But the one who rejects the apostle, the prophet sent by Jesus, of course, will then reject the Father who sent Jesus.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, continues on this Thursday afternoon, July the 21st. Since the church is remembering Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, today, we are doing so as well, finding Christ in Ezekiel when we come back. Christ in the person and life of Ezekiel in the title, Son of Man. That is, by the way, unique to this prophet. We'll be right back.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
There's a new neighbor in town. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open and ready to serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lutheran Federal Credit Union provides checking and savings accounts, home, car, and personal loans, on-demand mobile banking, 30,000 ATMs, and 5,000 in the co-op shared network. You'll find the modernized banking experience you need with excellent customer service and security you expect at LutheranFCU.org, LutheranFCU.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to MELHS.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Since the church is remembering Ezekiel, so are we today. You say we can also find Christ in the person, and this is not a hard one to do, in the personal life of Ezekiel, in the title that he holds, Son of Man. How would you make the distinction between Ezekiel called Son of Man and then Jesus later referring to himself as Son of Man?
Well, Ezekiel himself, of course, is given this very unique title repetitively throughout his book. I mean, we'll see this in Ezekiel chapter 2, where the Word of God, that is the second person of the Blessed Holy Trinity, calls him Son of Man and says, stand on your feet and I will speak with you. Again, in Ezekiel 3, the Word of God, the pre-incarnate Christ, says, Son of Man, eat whatever you find here, and he eats the scroll. Or in chapter 4, again, Son of Man, take a brick. Chapter 5, Son of Man, take a sword. Chapter 6, Son of Man, set your face toward the mountains. Or chapter 7, the word of Yahweh continues to come to him and call him Son of Man, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this goes throughout the whole book. But this is a title unique that the Word of God, that is, of course, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, calling Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the Son of Man. Now, this, of course, points to the fact that Ezekiel is human, that Ezekiel is a son of Adam, literally, that he is of his father Adam, and being of his father Adam, of course, he is conceived and born in the image and likeness of Adam. And Ezekiel is one who needs to hear this word from the pre-incarnate Christ so that he can then go and speak it. So there's a distinction here that when Christ himself takes upon the human nature, the word becomes flesh. The word then is man, and Jesus loves to use this title, the Son of Man, when he refers to himself. The Son of Man will do this. The Son of Man will be rejected, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the religious leaders. Well, you'll see this in the person and life of Ezekiel, of course, that he's the one who is sent, and he's the one that's rejected. He's the one that the people will not listen to, and he, of course, is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Well, this is precisely what the Son of God will do. When he comes in the flesh, he will talk about the destruction of earthly Jerusalem and the coming of heavenly Jerusalem, the overthrowing of the earthly temple. And, of course, that Jesus himself in the incarnation is this temple. And, of course, then you have the church, which is seen as the temple, and even each individual is called a temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. So what is unique here with Ezekiel is it's related to his human nature. He is truly a son of Adam in the image and likeness of Adam. But with Christ, of course, is the image of the invisible God. He is the one who is in the image and likeness of God. And he's the one who comes to restore that lost image that we have. So Ezekiel is still of that corrupted human nature. Well, Christ is Son of Man. He is the true man. He is the real Adam, and he comes to restore that which was lost in the fall. So Jesus will use this term, and of course this term will be picked up in the book of Daniel, and in, when it's picked up in the book of Daniel, then you're talking about, according to the human nature, the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the true Son of Man, ascends into heaven, and according to the human nature, now you have divinity and humanity reconciled for all eternity.
Also, Christ, in the speaking in parables, which that's another feature of the book of Ezekiel. What are you talking about there?
Well, you'll see this in Ezekiel chapter 17 in particular, where the Word of God, the eternal Logos, says, Son of Man, put forth a riddle, speak a parable to the house of Israel, that he is going to speak in these parables. And we'll talk a little bit more about even this idea of this sort of speech that is acted out. Well, he will put forth these parables. Well, this is precisely what Jesus will do, that when Jesus, as the Son of Man, he is continuously talking in parables. Oh, well, that's what Psalm 78 had told us, in which Yahweh says, Give ear, O my people, to my Torah. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from of old. And you have Yahweh, the Word, declaring this in Psalm 78, that this is what he will speak. He will speak in parables. Now, Ezekiel, as Son of Man, goes out and he speaks in parables. Now, when Jesus comes, he continues to speak in parables, something that is very unique here to Ezekiel and, of course, Psalm 78. You'll get to the point in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 13, where even the disciples are asking Jesus about this. They're saying, Jesus, why is it that you are speaking to them in parables? I mean, it's like you don't speak without saying a parable. You're constantly teaching with parables. And in Matthew 13, this is where Jesus will answer, and he will say to his disciples, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Well, Ezekiel is sent out to the people, and he speaks in parables. Now, of course, Ezekiel himself is a Levitical priest, and he is preaching to the leaders, to the rulers of Israel. Well, when the apostles are with Jesus, and Jesus, of course, is not a Levitical priest, and Jesus is teaching the Levites, he's teaching the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of the rulers and the leaders, he's teaching them, and he teaches them in parables, so that we would understand that the key to the mystery of what Jesus is proclaiming is Jesus himself, and that mystery in the key is given particularly to the apostles, the ones that Jesus himself will send. Well, this is the same thing with Ezekiel. He'll do some really crazy activities, and we'll talk about that in a bit, but when he talks in parables, people are scratching their heads saying, what is it that he's speaking? Well, Ezekiel is given the key. The mysteries are revealed to Ezekiel that he is to go out and to preach this. And Ezekiel then takes this message and he speaks to those who have eyes but they will not see, and those who have ears and they will not hear, to codify, to clarify this whole understanding that they are not going to listen, they're going to reject. And he's speaking in parables, Jesus will speak in parables. And, of course, in Matthew 13, the evangelist Matthew will tie this all the way back to Psalm 78, that this is exactly what the psalmist had said. This was to fulfill what the prophet had spoken in Psalm 78, that Jesus would speak in parables. So when Ezekiel speaks in parables, we see a depiction, a type and a shadow of what Christ will do when he comes to earthly Israel.
Let's talk with a few minutes, at least get started before we take our next break, talking about another feature of Ezekiel as a prophet. In the book, we find the prophet being directed by God to act out a promise or a word or a warning. With a couple minutes here, get us started on that.
Something very interesting with Ezekiel. I mean, it's not only with Ezekiel. You'll see Jeremiah will do similar types of activities. But what we're talking about here is this understanding of acting out the Word of God. And this is related to our ongoing conversation in the Psalms. When we talk about the Psalms as a divine dramatization, this is a divine drama, that you take the Word and the Word is being acted out, that you're enabling the people to have ears that can now hear and eyes that can now see, but in addition, everything is turned upside down, so now the eyes can hear and even the ears can see. And this is this acting out, making visible. It's an incarnational image of taking the Word of God that is on the page, on the ink, on the skin of the animal, the Word of God that is proclaimed into the air, into the ears of the people who hear, and now making it tangible, making it visible so that the people can actually see the Word that is being spoken. It's a very incarnational way when the Word ultimately will become flesh and dwell among us, and we can see the image of the invisible God.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're talking about Christ and the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel being remembered by the church today, July the 21st. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Ezekiel's acting out the Word. Really, Jesus is the one who literally acts out the Word. He is the Word acting out the Word. We'll talk about that. And Christ in the glory of the Lord that we find there in the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
So neither sacraments, by the way, of ghost bumps or fruit checking, they don't provide any assurance of your salvation.
Pastor Chris Rosebro, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Instead, they keep the gospel in the abstract, and they create obstacles for someone to say that Jesus died for me. They create obstacles for people to believe that Jesus has forgiven me, that Jesus loves me, that Jesus has had mercy on me.
You can listen to Pastor Rosebro's presentation, Making the Case for the Means of Grace, on an audio DVD of the 2016 Making the Case Conference. This audio DVD contains more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc., our series, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We're looking at the book of Ezekiel, kind of focusing on the person and the work of Ezekiel. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, before the break, you were talking about how Ezekiel is acting out the word of the Lord, and I wanted you to talk a bit about the fact that when we come to its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, it is the word of the Lord in human flesh who is literally acting out the very word of the Lord that was spoken by not just Ezekiel, but all the prophets.
And that's what we've been discussing when we talk about the Psalms as a divine drama, that it talks about the one who is the righteous man, the one who is the suffering servant, the one who is the true David, the one who is being assaulted by the enemies, attacked by the enemies, the one who's going to be brought down to Sheol, and the one who will not be abandoned there. That what we have in the Psalms is enacted in the flesh, in the incarnation, that this divine drama is played out visibly, tangibly, when Christ comes to assume the human nature. And what we see with Ezekiel is he's constantly taking this word of God and he is acting it out in a representation of what is said. And what is interesting with Ezekiel is in chapter 3, he's a prophet, he's sent out, but he becomes mute. So he can't even speak. So what he's doing is he's pantomiming. It's like a mime acting out the word of God. And you'll see these activities that are taking place related to the word of God when he eats the scroll in chapter 3, and cords are placed upon him so that he is bound, just like Jerusalem will be bound. In chapter 4, he enacts the siege of Jerusalem by placing a brick on the ground, and he kind of forms a little siege wall and puts an iron pan. He sets this up like a little miniature model of the siege of Jerusalem, and then he's supposed to lay there next to it on one side with the iron pan between him and his little miniature model for 390 days. And then after 390 days, he then rolls over to the other side, and he does the same for another 40 days. And of course, when he's doing this, he has cords that are placed upon him because he is bound, and he's eating unclean bread that was baked on dung. And this is one of these interesting conversations, a dialogue between the Word of God and Ezekiel, when originally Ezekiel was to cook this Ezekiel bread. I mean, you see these in the stores. It's always funny when you see the Ezekiel bread. Well, the original Ezekiel bread, of course, was cooked on dung. And so the original conversation was it was going to be human dung, but then Ezekiel kind of protests and he petitions, and he's then allowed to cook this on cow manure instead, because Ezekiel says, I've never put anything unclean in my mouth. Far be it from me, O Lord, to cook this on human dung. But he's acting that, so he's eating this bread, this unclean bread. In chapter 5, you see where he takes a sword and he shaves his head. He shaves his beard, and then he takes the hair and he's burning some of it. He is throwing some of it into the wind, and he's taking some of it and just cutting it up with the sword, and he's even somehow attaching or sewing pieces of this hair to his clothing. So he's walking around with pieces of his hair, he's burning hair, and he's bald, and he's completely shaven on his face. And then later on in chapter 6, you see him standing there, and he's prophesying against the mountains. And of course, in chapter 12, that he is told that when he is eating his bread, he is to be shaking and quaking. And when he drinks his water, he is to be trembling with anxiety, so that the people would see him doing this as he eats and he drinks. Or, of course, we all know the famous passage in chapter 37, where he is prophesying to the dry bones. And, of course, then the spirit comes into the bones, and the bones are resurrected. And also in chapter 37, he's taking those two sticks, one for Israel, one for Judah, and he puts them together. So he's enacting this word of God so that eyes can hear and ears can see. But this is precisely what the whole incarnation is about, is that very word of God coming in the flesh, being tangible, visible, doing the things that the word says. And that's the Kavod Yahweh. This is the glory of the Lord that is visible, tangible, that is speaking to Ezekiel.
Finally, then, Christ as the glory of the Lord. What do you have to say about that in the book of Ezekiel with a few minutes here?
Well, what we see is it's Christ who appears to him. Christ is the one who is there where Ezekiel can see. And you'll have this in chapter 1 at the initial induction into this office of prophet, that he sees the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord, who speaks to him, who places him into this prophetic office. And then you'll see this later on in chapter 3, where Ezekiel will note that he arose up and went out into the valley, and again he beheld the glory of the Lord standing there, like the glory that he had seen before in chapter 1. Later on in chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11, he continues to see this glory of the Lord who is there that he can see. It's the Word being made manifest. It's all pre-incarnate, all pointing toward the mystery of the incarnation. And then ultimately, you will see this at the end of the book, in chapters 43 and 44, when you have once again the glory of the Lord. Well, with the wisdom of Horace Hummel, of course, he looks at this and he notes that there's these three different categories through which this is taking place. And these line up with the vision that John will see in the book of Revelation, that just like in Revelation 1, he sees the glory of the Lord, John sees just like Ezekiel. And then later on, you'll see in chapter 6 through 20 of Revelation that you have the glory of the Lord forsaking the earthly temple. And then later on in Revelation 21 and 22, you have the end times glory of the Lord, the final fulfillment. And that's exactly what you see in Ezekiel. The glory of the Lord comes to Ezekiel. He's ascended. He's on the throne. He forsakes the earthly temple. And then he comes again to be this final end times glory of the Lord in the presence of people for all eternity.
Finally, with only a minute here, how would you kind of summarize all of this, finding Christ as the church remembers the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel? About 1 minute.
Well, the key here is that Ezekiel is preaching Christ, not only in what he is saying, but in what he is doing, so that Ezekiel will even be called a sign. And he's set there so that we can look at him. But, of course, he's not the end result. He's not the one that we've been waiting for. There is one who will come. He is merely preparing the way, just like John the Baptizer, for the one who is the true prophet. And it is that one, when he comes in the flesh, then the city of God will be known as Yahweh is there, because he dwells in the midst of his people.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the GOP convention with journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. There's a lot to discuss over the last couple days, and it wraps up, of course, today. Then on This Week in Pop American Christianity, we will talk with Pastor Chris Roseborough about spiritual augmented reality. That's super special spiritual churches versus plain ordinary churches. It's a very common idea in pop American evangelicalism. And since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Folks, if you were unable to attend this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, you can listen to it on a new conference audio DVD. We've got it available for you. It contains more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing from Larry Rast, from Chris Roseborough, from Pastor Jonathan Fisk, from Adrian Dorr-Heinz, and more. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll just look for the logo of the conference audio DVD, click on it, and you will find a way to have this 8-hour audio version of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference 2016 for your very own. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.